Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Advanced Warfare. Ben and Scott here for you again. I'm gonna go over a couple things that have released, but mostly we're just having this wonderful meta mature. What do you think, Scott?
It's just becoming a very balanced meta at this point, I think, is probably the best it's ever been.
I would agree. Now, there's still the rock, paper, scissors that happen. Like all metas, but it's not nearly as intense. But what I love seeing is how many unique factions won some tournaments this weekend. I think when me and Scott looked at it was the biggest variety ever recorded. So that tells us it's working. It's working, it's working. Keep doing what you're doing. It's not perfect. I will never say it's perfect because there's always stuff to improve on, and honestly, it's Games Workshop. So
There's always room here.
there's always room for improvement. But some interesting stuff have, arisen. Obviously, we've seen that the Custodes have had another rise because of their points dropped, and as we talked about with the data slate and the previous episode with the points. Like I just mentioned, but we've seen now even more data to work with of their win rate. Interesting enough, Sisters of Battle have taken off, and it's not necessarily surprising, but because like I've said before, when you shake up the meta, sometimes there's something underneath the sheets there essentially that you didn't know was a big bad that just kind of gets unveiled. So here's an example of that happening in the past. Jukari in a 9th edition, when they released and the liquefier racks were everywhere and they nerfed that. Well, underneath that sheet was Thick City, and that's what rose to the top next. But this is a little bit different because we're talking faction versus faction, but at the same time, I mean, I'm impressed. Like, it's not as bad as it could be. It has in the past,
Yeah, and they tended to ex escape the nerfs that everybody else they didn't really get any buffs, but and they actually took a couple nerfs to some units like Archoflagellants and stuff as we talked about. But I think they just kind of came back. Their predators got nerfed a little bit, and I think Sisters is also something that as the terrain of 10th edition has matured, they've become stronger because if they're not going to win in a gunfight. They're T3 models still with the 3-up save. They'll lose in most gunfights. But I think there's some play there. And there's still some gaminess around like the Tribes of St.
I'm going to
Catherine.
clarify. I think what Scott means is that they're not going to win a shooting war on planet Bowling Ball, but
No, yeah, that's what I meant.
they can play strategically.
Yes. Yeah, I think a skilled general can do a lot with Sisters, and they just score very well. They have lots of little MSU units. They play the secondary game very, very well, whether you're playing fixed or a tactical game.
Sure. And we've got a couple of different data points to pull up here. We've looked at the Games Workshop, what they're saying. We've looked at Stat Check, another podcast that focuses mostly on the win rates and such like that, but it has a little bit more broken down approach than the Games Workshop one. And we've kind of had a chance to look at it ourselves and kind of dissect what we do. But giving initial impressions, like we opened up with, it's doing great, the meta. Guard, preparing for a team event, I've seen Guard perform well. Necrons are obviously performing well. Orcs still have some teeth. Like, if you're not caught up on Orcs, they could still take a game from you. And just basically, if something can take a game from you, it can possibly, win a GT. And like, Orcs can do that to even like Necrons, right? Because they can just overwhelm them. And then just out OC the Catan, because obviously orcs struggle into stuff with minus damage or half damage, but I feel like they could do well into that
Or
anyway.
just 2-up saves in general.
Yeah, 2-up saves in general is pretty bad. Grey Knight's got a huge boost. I'm surprised we haven't seen that win rate creep up yet, but I think it's going to take a little bit for the other stuff, because what happens is previous, data points, you'll see when the top players shift. Because win rates will go up because of how the army's constructed. like Eldar and stuff like that. So as top players shift and settle into their armies, we might see some Grey Knights raised to the top. I'm thinking about playing some Grey Knights.
Yeah, well, I think with the other thing with like Grey Knights, what you see is like, I mean, it's not an insignificant, like 8% of their population makes a 4-0 start, which is good. I think there's just a lot of people that are still like Grey Knights are one of those armies that people just like, somebody, this is my army, this is the one I play all the time, no matter how good or how bad it is. And some of those guys just aren't the best players in the world.
Right, but they still go to
But
competitive events and stuff, yeah.
and I think Grey Knights is also a harder army to play, because if you don't know how to play Grey Knights into the vehicles, like it's a tough game for you. Like a really tough game for you. So, and I think Grey Knights are also a good counter to Custodes with like some of the incinerators and stuff that all the new AP they got that they could put the Custodes to their invuln every time.
Well, the incinerators is a bad example of that, but yeah, they
They're
have
not the
damage the
they have a
damage
lot of
three
AP.
psi cannon.
Yeah, that's what I meant. One of their guns.
One of their guns, yeah.
Yeah, so
See.
they're pretty good in the Custodes and their weapons, like the AP2 on their gun on their weapons. I think their psi weapons are AP2, aren't they? They're not that horrible if they're not even that.
Are you talking about the ones on the big dreadnought now that got the buff? Yeah, they're
Yeah.
AP2 ignore cover.
Yeah. So I think they got game into Custodes. It's the one that as a Custodes player, I don't know that. So I think as Custodes continue to gain popularity because of their success, because Custodes is like a 30 models to play, it's pretty easy to get that on the table. And Custodes have had some, and it's a similar build to what's been strong the last like 6 months to a year of Custodes. So a lot of people have those models already. So you'll start seeing those come out again.
Right.
But like, since the data slate dropped, I mean, the wins is like Sisters have 3 wins, Custodes have 3 wins, Necrons have 3 wins, Death Guard have 2 wins, Dark Angels have a win, Eldari have 2 wins, Drukhari have 3. Guard, as you said, has 2 wins. Chaos Beast Marines has even managed to win an event. So, as nerfed as they were, I mean, somebody found a way with them, and then just regular Space Marines and then World Eaters also have a win as well. So, I mean, pretty good spread of GT winners, and Black Templars, I think, is one of the strongest factions still right now, and they don't have a win yet, but it's gonna come. Just needs the right pilot and the right event.
That's you damn right it's coming.
I
God, shut up, Scott.
maybe he'll break the snide on both of them this weekend. Huh?
yeah, maybe,
Yeah.
maybe. It's just funny, guys, because what he's talking about is I've managed to do a lot of amazing things with my Templars, but getting the crown of a GT has not been one.
Always the bridesmaid.
I've made top 16 at Adepticon. I've made the finals at LVO. I've done a lot of stuff, but the funny part is that a lot of that is like, I play my Templars a lot when they're not the best, and right now they're doing pretty well. So it's coming.
You just gotta get some events going, which I mean, I think you're going to the Milwaukee GT this weekend, and
Woo! I
you have
have
that.
a barn burner of a march for j events. Whoever decided that we were going to do all these events in March, which was me, is a jerk. I'm doing so much. I'm doing this Milwaukee event, which is technically starts in February, but anyway, and then I'm doing
It's
a
all within a
DC.
calendar month, yeah, within a single 30-day period.
And then I'm doing Adepticon, which is these are all like, granted, this Milwaukee is just a 2 day event, but 2 3 day events in 1 month is pretty intense. And then we're going to pile it on to that I have two of the biggest events in my hotel at work
Yep.
for the in the month of March. So my March is going to be like blink what happened,
Yeah. Well, Adepticon is a 4-dayer because we do, it's if you make the finals, then you're playing on Friday as well. And then we have Saturday and Sunday with the team events, which is if you haven't done Adepticon teams, do it. Oh, find 3 guys that are on the same wavelength as you for 40K and you'll have a great time.
Yeah.
We got a theme going this year. We're doing Karn versus Sigismund. So we're using it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be Black Templars
Spoiler
versus World
alert,
Eaters.
spoiler alert.
Yeah, I don't
Karn.
care. Karn, yeah. Hangnail's gonna be there.
I gotta be honest. I was Googling some Sigismund stuff just because I like to every once in a while. I'm that big of a fanboy. But I went into the comment section on one area where it talks about the duel between Karn and Sigismund, which if you haven't read the book and you don't want it spoiled, please skip the next 10 seconds. Sigismund and Karn have an epic duel, which Sigismund ends up winning. The crybaby chaos guys in those comment section invigorated life into me. I was just sitting there with a shit-eating grin on my face, like, I've been there with Abaddon and Siggy. I've been there, baby, but guess what? This ain't no bullshit. This was a straight-up fight. There's no age involved. You lost.
No old man dying
No
to
old
the
man
young
dying.
pup.
This is OG Siggy.
yeah.
Probably should have told him to skip more than 10 seconds. But anyway, I don't care.
okay. That stuff's
Hey.
been out for quite a while and well known in the
Yeah,
lore, so
that's true.
you're
That's true.
surprised now, sorry.
Yep.
yeah, so I mean the meta's in a healthy spot. I think they're gonna have to do something to figure out with like custodes. I think you and I were talking tonight. Like I like custodes, they're a fun army to play, but they also still play a little bit like knights from a balance perspective. They just don't seem to be able to get it right. They're either really good, almost like bordering on the too good, or they're just kind of meh and nobody really pays attention to them. And I don't know how they hit that middle ground with them. So
Right. Well,
know they are.
back. I
Yeah,
mean,
go ahead.
one thing that's really interesting that you brought up, Scott, that I'm just gonna rehash here is that you said the World Leaders was able to win an event with their and on the according to StatCheck they have the lowest win rate right now. I don't think I've heard of that. The
Yeah.
technical worst army still won in an event. That is
Yeah.
incredible.
An army
That.
with a 40% win rate has won an event. And I mean, and then the Space Marines, like Space Marines is the second lowest at 40%, and they've won an event as well. But that's Space Marines is such a wide faction difference because, like, buried inside that Space Marines is the Ultramarines Vanguard detachment, which is still really, really good.
Really annoying too. Whoop 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 whoop.
Yeah. I
The
mean, I
whack-a-mole
because.
centurions. Damn it.
Yeah, these detachments that have all this redeploy stuff is, I know with that one you have to pay CP to do it, but like I hope they take a break from doing those for a while. Like I don't really want to see Eldar
I feel that.
Yeah. Or Chaos Knights. Hey, listen, I've teleported Chaos Knights. That sounds fun. That's what's what could go wrong. Oh, it's only one per turn. Oh, who gives a shit? It's a
I
Castellan, who
mean, they
cares?
already kind of have that. They've got the Kool-Aid strat, you know, the Kool-Aid man.
That's only a
Bust through
war
a wall.
dog, though. It's not one of the big
It's two
boys.
war dogs or a regular knight. Thank you.
Okay, fair. I just hope that, I mean, I could see Gene Stealer cults getting something like that, but I don't think every single fact, like, I don't, not every faction needs that. So
Only two
hopefully
have
it's.
gotten it so far. Don't get your panties in a bunch.
There's five codexes out, counting Dark Angels, which doesn't count.
Listen, listen. I may have overspoken. 40% of
Only half.
the 40%. 40%.
You count Marines with Vanguard, you know, there's deploy. And I mean, I don't mind the Vanguard version is really, that one's a little bit different. Because honestly, if you didn't have Ventress, I don't think it works near as good. It's not
Yeah, we
nearly the
toyed with
attachment
that.
that is.
We toyed with Black Templars doing it because I really like the idea of infiltrating Sword Brethren. But then it was just like, well, what do the Cents do? And it's like, well, they can come in Strategic Reserve. Then we started messing with it. We're like, never mind. This is terrible.
It's not easy, but it can't be screened out. That's why I think the Dark Angels version of that kind of fell on its face a little bit too. It had some strong play, but it was a you could counter that one a little bit easier.
Yeah, and. Funny though, my world's list, or our world's list, you know, ultimate counter would happen to be that Vanguard list because you got one close combat unit that hits ultra hard. And look, hey, I'm going to go ahead and make that a 12 inch charge. Cool. Excellent. My one combat unit is stuck in the open and I'm going to have to devout push back into my Land Raider. Excellent. And then guess what? We get to do it again next turn. And if I'm not dead by then you really lost the game. But chances are they shoot pretty good, so better than me.
Yeah, chances are they got away, so.
Yeah. But
One
anyway,
I'm kind of curious on is like the Blood Angels. Like I think their new detachment rule, I think they have some play there. So they haven't won a GT yet, but I think they have a chance to.
they're sitting in that 45% rate, but I mean, it looks like they had somebody in T-Whip, so that's like quite a bit actually.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's kind of the really fun part about like right now is I can't think of a, I mean, Death Watches are not a great one at this point because I think just regular Marines are just better than them because there's all of their special little squads and their strats are all based on bolters, but you have to pay like you're paying for guys that have the upgraded weapons that you don't want, so they're overcosted. I think they're probably the worst faction at this point. But I mean, if you have Death Watch, just play them as regular Marines. Or play them as Black Templars, whatever you want to play them as, you know? I guess that's kind of where the Marines, as long as there's one of the six or seven Marine factions is doing well, I don't worry too much about some of the other ones. I know there's guys that are just like, I'm a Space Wolves player. Well, let's play Space Wolves as Gladius. It's not terrible. Just taking base units. You miss out. I don't know. I think the Black Templars, what their thing is that the Sword Brethren unit. When they tried to correct Black Templars, they ignored the truly problem unit of that army. It wasn't Helbrecht. Helbrecht was good for 95 points, but he wasn't the problem. It's the unit he joined.
Well,
I mean, do you disagree?
I don't want to admit it because I don't want them to. I listen,
I mean,
listen.
that's why Templars are so much better than every other Marine faction
How
because they
dare
have Sword Brethren.
you? How dare you? When those guys came out, their model is so sick. I was so juiced. They were so ass. Now they're like the best thing ever, and you're like, we should nerf them. Okay, I agree, but
I think I don't want to nerf them to unplayable, but they could have. You could have raised each of those guys by 10 points and left Helbrecht where he was at and Gryphilas where they were at, and I think
you mean
you're probably still in the
150
same
for the
spots you
squad,
are.
300 for
Yeah.
the.
Yeah, something like that, you know. Maybe make Molten Meltas cost 10 points instead of 5. I don't
You leave the Meltas out of this. They've done nothing to you.
I mean they're solid. I don't think Templars are, they're not unbeatable. You know, I think there's quite a few armies that have games into them. Just kind of see what happens here in the long run. I think T-Suns have played correctly, have a game into them, but
Oh man,
this is a tough
T-Sons.
one.
I still have nightmares from LVO. That dang T-Sons player killing my Land Raider in the backfield of my home.
When you don't get any saves.
Well, like, I can't stress this enough. It is literally on the edge of my board. And it still got to me and turned my armor save off and killed me. I was like, son of a.
I love when people like with Magnus is on the board, it's like, am I out of range with Magnus here? I'm on the back line, like for now. Not really. I'm gonna move him 48 inches. Yeah, the movement shenanigans of T-Suns, but I think they're an army that if you make any mistakes in that army, you just lose the game.
Yep. T-Suns is just so. They look so interesting to me, but here's how I feel. I play a lot of League of Legends, and there are some champions that are pretty brainless and don't take a lot of skill, and then there are champions that are just
Backgrounds.
outlandishly complicated. Like there's a mage with like 9 abilities. You have to click one of them, and then it pulls up a menu of 3 more. Anyway, the point being is that they're like that, where played right, it can be devastating because you have so many tools to deal with so many situations. However, if you mess one of those up and you don't have the tool, because it's usually one specific thing that does the whatever, you know, or you get enough cobalt points to make it happen. Whatever, it happens if you lose a unit that you shouldn't have. Or if there's extraordinary random circumstances where Magnus dies, which is your fault, by the way. But just in general, it can really, like, Armon dying or something like that. Just mistakes like that will just end the T-Sun's turn. Like, the entire game, even. So, I feel what you're saying, Scott. I was just expanding on it.
No, yeah, and T-Sun's is like one that's it seems intriguing, but it's like I don't know. Trying to do that for like a 3-round RTT, sure. I mean, can you imagine that game four of day one of LVO or of Adepticon, and then having to do that four more times on day two?
Dude, I played Gene Stealer Cult when they were like mass dudes. You were at that team tournament with me. I was
Yeah.
miserable. I was a miserable, miserable human being that weekend.
Yes.
And I was doing it for the sake of winning. And I just, in my head, I'm like, you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing playing an army you hate? What are you doing?
Yep.
And I
Yep.
still played it
Yeah.
well, but there are definitely games like there I could have won that I didn't. Because I was not one, not familiar enough with the army, but two, because I didn't enjoy the army. There's nothing to get juiced up about. I could care less if I killed an entire squad with a seismic cannon. Ooh.
I popped up from the
You
shadows.
know, it's not
Now I'm
like
dead.
my Judicer, who is my Sigismund model, just carving up an entire squad. That gets me so juiced. I play so much better the rest of the game. That's all in my head, but it's there, okay?
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No,
So
I
play
get
what
it.
the summary is, folks, play what you love. And don't force
Yeah.
yourself onto Gene Stealer Cult. And if you play Gene Stealer Cult, I hope you find something to make you happy that because you make other people miserable when you play them.
Well, it's like it'd be like playing in the Tyranids' Endless Swarm, or playing as the Tyranids' Endless Swarm. That just seems like a job for the whole
Not only
weekend.
does it seem like a job, but it's like what movie is this from? Oh, it's from Mulan. There's a beginning scene in Mulan where there's two dudes playing a board game. It's like Chinese checkers or something. She comes up and makes a move for him, and then he sits there like, I am a tactical genius to the other guy. That's what I feel like Unending Swarm is. Only the GW rules writers are like, here. You know, it's because you can just take. Let's just take a million OC and you can just shove it up the board. And we're going to give them assault weapons and a 6-inch move after they shoot. And then go ahead, do it again. You got to stay out of Overwatch range? We got you, baby girl. Just shoot your Plesbora and move afterwards. Oh, man. Anyway, I digress. Going back to this meta, the reason we really wanted to touch on the meta is because previously I said we didn't have enough data. Now I feel like we've got enough games. This is still an ever-shifting meta, just because, as like I said, top players are going to figure out what they like or what they want to do, and they will adjust accordingly to their play types. But let's go over some of the stuff that is a little surprising. And I really do like how they break down some stats, but what is the number one winning detachment right now, Scott? Can you see that?
Unending Swarm, it looks like.
That's why I brought it up, because we were just talking about it. But the
Number two
next.
is really surprising.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Number two is very surprising. It's the Qastari Hunter Cohort. Now, if we can pull it up, there were
Pretty.
42 games played, which is actually quite a bit.
Yeah,
And it
it's
has
about
a.
1% of the meta.
Yep, it's got 61%. Of win rate. So, talk a little bit about the ad mech, Scott, of why that might be.
I would assume that people are like, I know they didn't get much help, but I think the Hunter Cohort is still a decent one. It plays the missions very, very well. And I don't know if it's just like AdMech actually right now is starting at a 50% win rate, so the 61% isn't that far out of the outside, so some of the other detachments are dragging it down. Yeah, it looks like the Rad Zone core and the Cohort Cybernetica, people are giving those ones a go. Those are running in the 40s, low 40s, for their win rate. But the Cohort and the Datacelum Conclave are in the 60s. So I think it's just
Jazz Hands is in the 60s?
Yeah, the Datasum Conclave is 60. That's the next, it's third best one, per these stats here. So, and that's just win rate. None of these actually have made a 4-0. So they're dominating the mid tables. You know, they're the 3-2s. You
Yeah.
know, it seems like they're consistently getting there, or maybe they're losing a round early and then coming up to the submarines to get to 4-1 to get them up to that slightly over 60%. So it's like they're not in contention to win any events, but they're still performing well at the event. So what that probably tells me is that top players know how to beat it, and I think inexperienced players just probably aren't aware of exactly how what AdMech can do, because you just don't see it very often because it's not very good.
Yeah.
Or it's not perceived to be very good, so you don't see a lot of people playing it, so you just don't understand exactly how it works. It catches you off guard. That's kind of what I think is kind of where it's at. So.
Right. Now, we're not gonna focus a lot about these detachment win rates because honestly, it's just my opinion that, the solo ones, those are telling. But like, let's go ahead and look at Gladius Strike Force here. What is it? It's a 43%, right?
Yep.
Because all the other factions can pick a Gladius, right? So,
That's your Space Wolves.
Space Wolves with a 24% win rate, on the Gladius Strike Force. So, it isn't fully telling, but we just thought it was interesting that this Skitarii cohort was up there. And the Datasom Conclave, those are both up one, two, and three. But it also could be that, I'm going to be honest, we've talked about this before. It is almost the same as previously. AdMech are a chore to play. They really are. At least you only have to pick your Doctrine of Imperatives. You don't have to go through like this big long list or whatever, but it is
Yeah.
still very robotic. And I think
Yeah,
that's on
unless you're
purpose.
Richard Siegler, I don't think you enjoy it very much.
Right.
Like that type of play. I mean, there's some people that really enjoy it, I think. Long time player, so yeah. But the worst detachment is the actual Death Watch one. That's a 27% win rate overall. It's pretty bad. Yeah, you look at the bottom and like one, two, three. It's all marine ones tend to be down because I think, as we've kind of talked in the past, it's an army that you play when you first start the game. Almost everybody starts as one of the marine factions. Normally, vanilla one of the vanilla ones, probably ultramarines, because that's what all the box stuff has. It must be good, right? I know I was guilty of that. Yeah, I think we talked about this. I don't know if we've talked about it here on the podcast, but I know in the past you and I have talked about this in the last couple of weeks, that top to bottom the meta has never been tighter. Like, I know world leaders are at a 40% win rate, and space marines are at 41, and Death Watch is at 41, but like Sisters is only at 60. There's nobody sitting at like a 65, 67 abusive type win rate, and it's been years since it's been like that. It seems like there's always, throughout ninth, there was always like one faction that was like, all right, thing. You know, it started out with Drukhari, and then it went into AdMech, and then it was orcs for a little bit. I mean, just kind of, then Drukhari came back and did it again. So it's nice to see that the top faction is only sitting at a 60% win.
Not in
You
the
know, we'll.
70s or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it remains to be seen what like Custodes can do, because I know that they're gonna rise in popularity with like they performed very, very well this weekend. They had a ton of 4-1s finishes and stuff at events, and or like 4-0-1s type finishes. So I'd be curious to see if they don't jump up in popularity, or if the meta just adjusts to like counter them. You know, they're the next big bad, so let's figure out how to counter them and then move on from there. So we are only, I think, 3 weeks into the data slate. So yeah, I'd be curious to see how things go. I don't know if you've looked at the list for Milwaukee GT, but I assume there's gonna be a ton of Necrons and a ton of Custodes showing up there.
I'm looking at them right now, and no, not really. There's
No?
some Black Templar. It's actually pretty. It's pretty spread out. I'm actually pretty impressed about this. So there's a couple custodes, some Eldar. We've got my boy Root on Drukhari, which
Drukhari, yeah.
just kind of makes me laugh because I'm bringing the Drukhari for him essentially. He's got the vehicles, I'm bringing everything else. But that just goes to
That's
show you
Matt, yep.
that, I mean, well, one, that's Matt, but two, the other part is that that's just how the meta has been lately, is that all this random stuff that was bad is, like we talked about the Primaris Sword Brethren, is good. So, my boy Bill's gonna be there with Space Wolves. I like this. We're gonna talk about Bill's list. And this, when I tell you what it is, you're gonna know exactly why I said that. So Bill is playing Space Wolves, and he is playing a Gladius Strike Force. But here's some fun stuff here. He's got the Biologus Rockfist, which I like. I like him a lot for 95 points. Judicature with the Honor Vehement, I like that. And then Logan Grimnar. Now, this is an
Display.
interesting piece of tech because here's we got the Gladius Strike Force and Logan Grimnar. I'm not going to give Bill's entire plan away, but it has a beautiful interaction with a once per game there, which is great. But here's the other part. We're going to go down to the bottom. He's got some Terminators here, but Wolfen are back. He's got three squads of Wolfen. Oh man, they got, like we talked about, they got some love. They're back. 80 points for five of them. Yes, please. And then, a Calidus Assassin, some Scout squads, an Infiltrator squad, a couple Lancers for some tank killing, and then the obligatory Frisian Wolves for actions and such. But this is a
Those
unit that.
things are really Frisian Wolves. I played against Bill against that. Those are really good.
Yeah, they're really annoying, is what he means. Anyway. But and then Bill, this is kind of one of Bill's signature units. That Apothecary Biologist goes into the Eradicators rather than aggressors. So that is something unique, but it's awesome. And I just like how the list functions. It's gonna do well. I like it. Bring that 25% up, Bill. That's what I'll say.
Well, so the one thing I will say about that Bill has done very, very well here, or like one of his choices that he's made, is that he is very, very practiced with Space Wolves. He's been playing Space Wolves pretty much since 10th dropped. Maybe he flitted around a little bit at the beginning, but that I think that is a big key for him, is he's very familiar with his list. He understands it into most of the matchups. So I think that helps a ton for him, so. That
Yeah.
can't be understated enough, in my opinion.
Right. You got leagues. You got actually looks like quite a bit of Leagues of Votann. We got a couple Grey Knights in here. I'm gonna pick another random list to go over. Let's go over Root's list to kind of give him more challenge mode. So he's running Drukhari with the Sky Splinter Force. He's got the Triple Archon, Draz, Lilith. He's got Cabalites, Rax Rax. Widges, Raider, 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 Venom, 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 Kronos, Triple Incubi, one being 10, two fives, Double Mandrakes, Ravager, Scourges, Scourges. This is like almost exactly what I would run, except for I only do two of the Venoms, but like I love three Venoms is fine too, because I love to get in, get out for free. So, I mean, it's a nasty list, but the problem is like, Drukhari are great in the Sky Splinter, but they suffer from the fact that they could just end up being put into the dirt very easily with shooting because they're T3. So a good general will do well with them. So I'm excited to see how Matt does. And hopefully we don't get paired up like we do every single GT we go to. But
If you both wouldn't do well, then it wouldn't be a problem.
well, there are 80 something people coming to this tournament. I think 80 is the cap, but it's only a five round. So I think with
Well,
that
when you're both
math.
undefeated at the end, this is what
Well, what I'm saying is that there's going to be multiple
happens.
undefeateds. I think there might even be three with that many people. I'm
Yeah,
not.
it'd be cool to see you guys go 1-2.
Yeah, it'd be fun. And then Alex Vian's list is pretty much my list, but he has two Lancers and two Reapers and Sword Brethren like crazy. So, no melt the
What
package, but.
house? Okay, so he doesn't have the. He dropped the little guys, the Crusaders.
Yeah, no Crusaders, and he has no Inceptors, so he just went tanks with damage. That's good. He's gonna go to try and table people. If you play with
Yeah,
Alex, you
sure.
know that's him.
I mean, I guess for me, the secret power of that list is the Crusader.
Yeah.
On the mission play side, at least. But yeah, well,
Last
that's
list
good.
I want to talk about, let's talk about Dakota Kramer. You know, he's got the Avatar Kane, which that's, we've seen a rise in popularity there. Both avatars are still really good. I think it's dealer's choice as to which one is going to get played. Interesting enough, we've got the Reader of Runes on a Farseer, a regular Farseer, Fugin. So that means he's going to be changing fate dice around, I believe. Is that one with what it does?
Which one?
The Reader of Runes, I believe he can re-roll a die a turn.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure.
I have to go look at it because I haven't seen that enhancement for quite some time. Falcon with Fire Dragons, I like that little combo. I think he might even put Fugin inside of that, but not attached to the Fire Dragons, to kind of just be on his own. Rangers, Shadow Spectres, Shroud Runners, and then double support weapon. I still really love the support weapons. In fact, my list usually start with three of those. And then two sets of Swooping Hawks for objectives, two Warwalkers, and two sets of War Spiders. I really like this list. This is scary. I don't want to fight this. I don't like Eldar. But
I mean, I think that's the thing with Eldar is if they're played correctly, they're still one of the stronger factions out there.
yep.
But I
So
just think it takes the right general now where, you just can't walk up and roll your face on the keyboard and win.
right. No, I agree. But next week we're gonna try to record on Wednesday. We'll see if it happens. I am traveling to ATC that weekend, so I will not be available on Thursday through Sunday. Thursday is our normal recording night for Scott and I. We'll try to connect earlier, but if work happens, work happens. That's life of a chef, you know.
Yep.
But we will do our darndest. But do you have any closing thoughts for everybody out there, Scott?
No, not today.
Yeah, he's a pumpkin today.
No, I'm not.
Pumpkin.
I'm not. I just
Well, if
don't
you
have
enjoy the
any.
podcast, guys, thank you for listening. And if you want to support us, you can check us out on patreon.com, AW40K. We also have a website, too, if you want to check out some of our special help there. We do personal time if you're looking to up your game. Our biggest mantra there is that we like to keep you playing your game. We don't want you to copycat anybody else. We want you to be happy playing 40K. But if you're looking for that, that's also on the Patreon as well. But we appreciate you guys listening, and we will catch you next time.